Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on Newstalk.
Insolvency rates among Irish companies are climbing, but are still well below the long-term average. But for small businesses in the hospitality sector, things are even more acute, and much of that is down to those high energy costs we spoke about earlier. My next guest also thinks that the lack of skills, especially the traditional trades such as plumbing and carpentry, is creating a skills gap, which in turn is pushing up prices for all companies. Desi Morrow is a partner in corporate recovery with the professional services firm Assets Ireland. Good morning, Desi.
Morning, Joe.
Can we start with that skills gap? So people aren't going into the traditional trades, becoming sparkies or chippies or anything like that?
Yeah, it seems to be the case that there's a shortage definitely of those trades. And I suppose how that is borne out, it's not just me saying it. The Society of Chartered Surveyors Ireland would have published a report in February 2024. And in their tender price index assessment, their members quote a concern about a skilled labour shortage and what that meant in terms of labour rates going up. And I think we're slowly seeing that being represented across the broader business community in terms of the cost of getting in a third party tradesperson to install an appliance to fix something. I have a direct case last week where I spoke to a director of a business, and it was €50 to install a particular product 3 years ago, and that has gone up to €150 per
appliance. Wow, it's now trebled.
It's trebled. You can carry the item in your hand.
Right, and this is to install, just because they don't have the skill set, the electrician in this case possibly, to do it.
Correct. So the competing interests are, I suppose, the push for renewables and also the obviously the well-publicised and documented housing crisis, which has meant a flurry of skills are going into those sectors,
and quite rightly. And they're getting paid more as well, aren't they?
They're getting paid more and probably have, a greater clarity on their week's work and their requirement for how they're going to be used, what they're going to, you know, if they're going for a mortgage or whatever, they've quite, it's quite a better platform, I suppose, for that sort of thing.
And is there a snob issue involved that parents don't want their sons and daughters to become chippies or plumbers or electricians?
There may have been a push for students and youngsters to go to college, we'd say maybe 20 years ago, maybe 30 years ago. And that's probably borne out now. But you have to also remember that during the downturn from 2010 onwards, obviously the employment prospects for someone that had a skill in Ireland were particularly limited. And I think that has probably, there's some sort of scar tissue from that, I would say, that has led to people say, well, we're going to do something different. We're going to learn our lesson from 10 or 12 years ago and move on.
What about the insolvency issue that I spoke about as well there? I mentioned that it's not yet at the long-term average. What is the long-term average, roughly? How many companies would go to the wall every year, given the fact that companies need to go to the wall every year? It's just a question of how many.
Yeah, so at its height, during the recession, you would have been talking about north of 1,500 insolvencies for corporate entities. Mm. And obviously the failure rate amongst non-corporates, which is business owners, is obviously something that isn't recorded. There isn't a database for that.
These are the personal directors or whatever.
Correct. Personal business owners that trade in their own name or trade in a partnership. There's no database for that. The numbers definitely have been artificially lowered by the government supports in prior years.
So debt warehousing and stuff like that.
Exactly. And the debt warehousing is something that is being road tested now. And I think we would have seen from our own practice in Assets some of the debt warehousing clients definitely find themselves in a bit of difficulty and having to take remedial steps to survive.
But we didn't see a spike in insolvencies when the deadline earlier this year was imposed by Revenue. Revenue said, I think it was the end of April or beginning of May, they said basically everybody needs to have some sort of deal in place with us, otherwise we're going to come down like a ton of bricks on you.
Correct, Joe. And obviously, at the time, I think what was in the psyche of business owners was, well, we're going to enter into an agreement and we're going to see how it goes. A lot of those haven't yet been road tested, and I think what you'll find is that businesses, particularly in the fourth quarter of the year for hospitality sectors, it's their busiest season. So I think what you'll find is they're going to desperately try to get to Christmas.
Get as much cash in the door.
And then they're going to see what's going to happen in January. But you're right, though. The debt warehousing scheme was there. It had to be signed up in May, and some of those agreements were for periods in excess of 5 years. And the legacy of carrying that in the midst of a cost of living crisis, an energy crisis, a labour rate crisis, which I think is derived from a shortage of skilled labour. They're all pressures that businesses are going to struggle to deal with.
Now, you heard us talk about energy prices on a macro scale in the previous item with Robert Maxwell. You think that energy is a major factor in the success of smaller companies as well?
I really do think so. I think if you take the example of something that's produced by a primary producer from an agricultural farm and fertilizer as an input, and you take that product and you bring it to a processor, and a processor slices, dices, cuts it, refrigerates it, moves it from there with transport and logistics onto a wholesaler, and the wholesaler applies their margin, and then the transport and divvied up between the various different retailers it's going to go to, and at the end of the day the consumer has to pay the VAT on all that if it has been changed. And I think energy is the central component out of all that, and if you could pull the energy thread and bring that back in line, I think that would be much more potent than the power up grant that we're talking about of 4,000 I think per eligible business. I really think strongly that that's at the heart of it.
Now, your company, Assets, it used to be known as Baker Tilly.
Correct.
You're probably watching with interest the decision by Grant Thornton to split its business from its consultancy side with the auditing side. Are we going to see more of that? Is that going to start mushrooming, that kind of split?
I think it will, Joe. I think and it's obviously well publicised that last year EY would have considered a split in the same sort of terms. It didn't actually get done in the end, but I think you'll find that will be revisited. And obviously partners at similar firms and similar, particularly those older partners, might be thinking about getting cash off the table. I think their heads will be turned by this. I think there's plenty more to come on that.
Including in Assets, perhaps?
Not for me to say.
Desi, thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe.
Desi Morrow is a restructuring partner with Assets here in Ireland.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.